Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Tiger Bales with Let's Talk.
Welcome and good morning to you all. Welcome to Let's Talk. I'd like to acknowledge the continuing sovereignty of all First Nations peoples right across the country. We'd also like to acknowledge elders, elders of the First Peoples of the land, and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service and across the world by the World Wide Web. Well, it's what a beautiful song. Garth Terre, singing sorry. And today we're down at Jagera, on the grass, out on the lawns, magical environment, atmosphere, beautiful. And we're here celebrating, I think it's the 8th anniversary of the apology. That happened on the 13th of Feb, which is tomorrow. And LinkUp has sponsored this event, organised this event, to celebrate the apology and our people, the Stolen Generation mob and stuff, all our mob. And joining me in the studio is Pat Conlon, CEO of LinkUp. Pat, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Thanks, Tiger. Nice to be here with you. Great to see you. Haven't seen you for some time, so nice to be back in Brisbane and on your program.
Good to have you here. Tell us your mob, your country.
Tiger, my grandfather was removed from North Queensland, so Kukuyalanji. I'm very lucky that I was adopted by my parents, Mick and Eileen Conlon, and I was adopted from Eileen's sister. So I stayed in my family. I was lucky to stay within my family, otherwise I could be part of the Stolen Generation as well. My family come from Cherbourg, but I identify with Kukuyalanji in North Queensland because that's where my grandfather was removed from and removed down to Cherbourg. My dad, Mick Conlon, is from out west.
Good one. Yeah. All right. This event, LinkUp, tell us briefly LinkUp's role.
Tiger, LinkUp was established in 1984. It was established to because of the need to help to reunite families, people who've been removed because of past government policies. And there was people saw a need in the community when people like Aunty Mary Graham, Aunty Lila Watson, and Aunty Bev Johnson, who was the first worker at LinkUp, the one and only worker, trying to help to link up families. We've grown over that since that time, and we get our strength and inspiration from those women, from those early days, and they're still around today, of course, and we still draw on them for strength to continue to do our work. So our work is about helping members of the Stolen Generation to find their families, find their links, connect them back to family, connect them back to country, connect them back to culture.
How important is how important was Rudd's apology? And here we are, a number of years later, a lot of our mob feel that there's a bit missing. Needs to be a bit more done. What are your thoughts?
Tiger, I think we probably all know where we were on the day that Kevin Rudd gave that apology. We can all remember where we were at that particular time. It was such a significant event. It was from the heart. People feel that it was from his heart and that it was truly meant. And we see the how Aboriginal people, not just Aboriginal people, but everybody responded to that, the tears, because it was really heartfelt. We've moved on a number of years. It's 8 years since that apology, and people are still saying, well, what now? We have people talking to us about reparations for the suffering and the pain and the trauma that members of the Stolen Generation have gone through. And that's a conversation that needs to be had. It needs to be put to the forefront because there have been horrific abuse of our people, separating our people from their families. That trauma still goes on today. I just mentioned to you about me. I could have been a member of the Stolen Generation as well. So I haven't suffered like others have. And I can tell you it really hurts me when I hear the stories of our clients and what's happened to them. Here they were taken away from loving families, some of them told that their mother, their father didn't want them, told that their parents had died and put into the hands of people who've abused them. So it really is horrific what's happened and it's not something that's happened generations and generations ago. We're still alive, we're still living, and there is that transgenerational trauma that continues on that affects us as Aboriginal people every day of our lives.
So these sort of gatherings and celebrations, they're essential.
Absolutely, Tiger. People, today is really important. It's an opportunity for us as Link Up, and we've been supported by the Healing Foundation today, so we really appreciate the support that the Healing Foundation has given us to put this event on. And it's important because it's an opportunity for our people to come together, particularly our clients, member of the Stolen Generations, to come together to share today, to tell their stories, reflect on where they've come from, and to you know, it's a bit of a healing thing as well today, coming together. So we really like to make sure that when we put this event on, that we're paying particular attention to our Stolen Generation client, letting them know how important they are to us, that our inspiration to do our work comes from them and their resilience.
And you've got a few performers and speakers and the Murray School dancers, so it's... the local member, Jackie Trad,
yep,
as well. You know, so you've got some notable people, both in our community and even government and stuff.
Yep.
So you've got a pretty good event here. It's going to be a good day, and people are encouraged to get on down here because there's a feed here as well.
Absolutely,
so they want to get on down here. Yeah, make this a joyous occasion. Yeah.
Absolutely, Tiger. And our very special guest speaker is Aunty Rosalie Kunoth Monks. So we're really pleased that she's been able to come over and join us. And as well as the other guest speakers, our Murray School dancers, of course, they're just absolutely gorgeous. So we're really pleased. And we're really pleased that the Deputy Premier has made time to come along today as well.
Fantastic. Anything else you want to tell us? Because we're going to bring Aunty Rosalie Kunoth Monks in after you.
Oh, look, I think I should just hand the mic over to her, Tiger, and thank you very much for having me on this morning.
Thanks for giving us your time, and it's really good to be down here with you.
Tiger.
With this broadcast. Thank you. Pat Conlon, CEO of Link Up. And like I say, this is an outside broadcast. We've got the mobile studio, our deadly little truck down here, parked on the lawns. They've got a big marquee set up. There's a couple of hundred chairs rolled out. There's people preparing food in the kitchen. The sound system's being set up because you've got... They're expecting Joey Geyer along. And, Joey's a good mate, an old brother of mine from 40 years ago. And also there's another performer, Tony Janke, that we haven't heard or haven't seen for a long time. And a beautiful voice, great singer, and it's good to see her back in here, in the community, back at Redfern. Now, we've got... Aunty Rosalie Kunoth Monks.
Good morning, Tiger.
You good?
Still kicking.
Still kicking in your 80th year. Going strong. How deadly is that? Now, you are 2015's Northern Territory Australian of the Year and you're NAIDOC Person of the Year for 2015.
Yes.
That right? Wow. Amazing. Congratulations. Well done. Tell us your mob, your country.
My country is the Arrernte one that consists of the Arrernte people, Maadjara and the Yawarra.
All right. And you're still based out there in Central Australia. You live there.
I'm 7 kilometres from the moment I arrived on this earth.
Where you were born. 7 kilometres.
On the Sandover River.
All right.
It's a dry river. I wasn't born on a boat.
All right. Now, you're also the You were Jeddah in the film with Robert Trudawalli.
Last century, yes.
52, 53, 55? When was that?
Yeah, that its 60th year
right.
was last year.
Okay, 54.
Of the premiere of Jeddah.
Wow.
60. Okay. I must be a dinosaur tiger.
Well, it's good to see you. You're still here and able to talk about that. By gee.
Now, today's event, the apology. How important was that to an 80-year-old born in Central Australia? How important was that apology some 8 years ago?
Tiger, I guess I missed a lot of that human rights violation. When little children were dragged away from their mother's arms and from their mother's breasts, I can only imagine how that would have affected the mother and child. That is an atrocity which needs to be addressed and addressed in depth here and now, not tomorrow. It has gone on far too long. And the thing is, we think it's the past. No, Tiger, it is still happening. I see white women with little black handbags, which are our children, being pushed around in Alice Springs. Once upon a time, it was the mixed heritage, what we were termed as half-caste,
right,
that was taken.
Feskin
now,
doesn't
it's
matter.
All of us.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Therefore, severing 40,000 or more years of customary traditional responsibility of those children, it's not done by accident. It has to stop.
Mm. So, are there any indications that the likes of the new Prime Minister or anybody in government, even state government for you in the Territory, any indication that someone's listening?
I don't think so. And I think, to my people, we must stop reacting or indeed asking for the ears of those in authority. It is time for us to take our place in our country and to live our lives and our values within our communities.
Self-determination.
Absolutely. And that is not a self-determination that might be imposed by the utterings of bureaucrats and government policies. It is time for us to reclaim and reassert and say who we are.
Yeah, because self-determination can't be given to us.
No way.
By anybody. We've
no way.
Established it. We live it.
Yep.
We do it.
Yep. Reclaim our languages. It's only asleep.
Mm.
Some of our languages are asleep throughout the country.
Mm.
But when our ancestors planted our stories, it reached from one end of Australia to the other and crisscrossed. And it's still there. Mm. Let's reclaim it. Let's revive it. Let's resuscitate it.
Yes, for sure.
Yep.
Wake them up.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah. What's important for you over the next 10 years?
Hopefully I will be 90. Important for me is seeing Aboriginal Australia alive, well, singing the songs of our ancestors. And also, from within the security of our cultural identity, reaching out and accessing all knowledges throughout the world. We can do it and we will do it.
For you to be appointed, identified as the Northern Territory Australian of the Year and the NAIDOC Person of the Year,
That gives you opportunities or platforms to be able to promote self-determination, culture and education.
Yeah. I think more so as the NAIDOC Person of the Year. NAIDOC is an acknowledgement of a black tribal woman. Australian of the Year has many facets to it. So that doesn't mean as much to me. Being given the Order of Australia Medal doesn't mean as much to me, because it's given to you with reservations. Being the, inaugural winner of the Dr. Yunupingu Human Rights, and Yalma, the widow, giving it to me, means much more to me. My elders performing a ceremony and putting me through and giving me my kulaman, my langara, with my print of who I am and also my authorization to fight for our rights. That endorsement and those endorsements meant a lot more than what the white person can give me. Because usually with that comes an imposition in their priorities, not priorities.
So it's important that we're able to try and do things on our terms.
Absolutely. And it is time.
Yeah?
It is time, Tiger. Yeah. Otherwise, tomorrow, our languages, our ceremonies, further dislocation from our lands is happening now, and we could lose the lot. And just become the subhumans that we were termed at the bottom of the heap of humanity in Australia, in our country. We must be acknowledged and we must be respected for who we are, not for what they can turn us into. That's wrong.
Well, that probably brings into question the education system, schooling. How do you feel? You're a tribal woman. How do you feel about the white education system and being forced to send our kids along to that, within that structure?
That
is there to destroy our culture and stuff. We've got a real bind here as First Nations parents and carers and grandparents. What are your thoughts there?
We, as a sovereign people of this country, with the social structure that is second to none throughout the world, that social structure is so, so inclusive. If we go out of that and utilise the assimilationist rod, which they call education, we lose the plot. For our children to access education, as it's termed, from within the security of their culture, with their identity intact, is a different kettle of fish. And as I said, from within the security of our culture, we should be, and be free to do so, access any knowledge in this global contents. Not to be assimilated. Not to forget and to be absolutely stomped on and forced to become a carbon copy of somebody else's culture and language and everything else therein. We are black Australian people with beautiful languages, beautiful ceremonies, and also a beautiful continuing culture that exists in its resilience against all odds. We are alive.
Back in your early years, it was well documented that you weren't allowed in schools. And here they are, forcing us, penalising us if we don't get to school. It's a big change.
I think this is part of the trauma that has been put into place to make sure we are dislocated, to make sure we are traumatized, and to make sure we lose that connection to land. The land is what the foreign authorities would like to keep. Hence, the 99-year leases in the Northern Territory. You put out, almost take out four or five generations in the Aboriginal lineage. You are lost then. Once you are dislocated from your land, your language and your ceremonial beliefs and practices, you are no longer the complete person that our ancestors were. So we need to be hard on ourselves and harder still on foreign control of us and our children.
So what do you think is the we could be doing or should be doing? As it is, one option, go to white man's school. There are very few in this country blackfella schools, owned and controlled, run by blackfella. Do you think that there's the need for our mob to focus on our own learning centres?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. And we need to support more all our people to regain and reclaim that first heritage which they have in this country. Mm-hmm. That heritage is not a short one of 235 years or whatever. It is one of thousands of years. And that's what we need to concentrate on. Reclaim our Aboriginality. We were told to be absolutely appalled at us being born black. We're no longer ashamed of who we are. And we do not believe that great big lie.
What's the message then from you, Aunty Rose? For our parents, our carers, the kids that are growing up, in regards to culture, cultural identity and education stuff, what do you say to them?
I say to them, reclaim yourself, be proud of who you are and love yourself. Get back your language, it's only asleep. Get back your ceremonies, reclaim your land and sit on it if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Contrary to the Prime Minister of Australia, Tony Abbott, saying it's a lifestyle choice, which is a hurtful thing for anyone to say, it is our land. Apmerlelait Nyenema means land holds you. Aitnyena, hold that land. That's what I say to my beautiful race to which I belong. Proudly belong. Let's be strong.
What's on the horizon for you? Are you writing a book? Or somebody doing anything in that regard, or a film or something? I mean, you're one of our icons, our you know, and it needs to be documented and stuff. What's happening? Have you got something happening?
As soon as I draw breath, I'm going to do both that. Right. Write something, but write it from the black angle. I will not be responding to what white Australia might expect of me. I will be pouring my heart out to my people and loving them and leaving a message of the continuing culture, which includes the environments, the animals, and the humans therein. Mm. Mm. I have a dream and I have a song to sing. I'm not finished yet.
Well, of course not. That's right. No, we certainly want you to be around for some time to come. My guest is Aunty Rosalie Cunoth Monks. From what's that community?
Utopia.
Utopia, of course. How could I ever forget? And it's one of two communities in the territory that didn't sign over the lease back of country
with the promise of, you lease back your country, we'll give you government services. Now, Utopia and Mutitjulu are two that said no to that.
We said no, but that does not stop the public servants who are now the superintendents of old coming out and performing their treachery. So what Utopia is doing, if they want a school there, special purpose lease. If they want a clinic there, special purpose lease. Huge police station at Utopia. No, I don't think there's been murders committed there, but a huge police station, special purpose. So all these little special purpose leases, they're in existence at Utopia. Otherwise, we would not get any assistance at all in accessing outside knowledge. So that's what's happening.
So the rest, all those other communities that did lease back, do you know that they've that the government has honoured their side of the agreement, providing the services?
Not fully. No, it's always been one where people are told they can have $100 million. And what it brings on is infighting within a clan group or even a tribal group. That is meant to be like that.
Very deliberate, you say?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Some of your challenges over the past couple of years has been access to water and education. Your grandchildren, your daughter drives grandchildren on over 100-kilometre round trip just to get to school. Is that still happening?
We've managed to get Ruby. The first 6 years of her education was, as you describe it, every day, 5 days a week. She is now at St. Philip's, where you see a proud little black woman taking her place, and she wants to learn as much as she can, but she has that security and that knowledge. My goodness, she can speak the language. So she knows who she is. And she gives a death stare if anybody says anything racist. She doesn't lower herself to be abusive, but you can see she's a proud, strong black woman. And that's what we need to do with our children, not have them institutionalised, as we're celebrating today, those that have come back to us, those broken, shattered young children that were abused. And, you know, the religious churches and so forth have a lot to answer, because they aided and abetted in this experiment of our people. Many of us do not. I was a nun for 10 years.
I was going to say, you can speak from first-hand experience on
that. Yeah, I will not go back into a church building now.
Really?
No, I cannot. Cardinal Pell in Rome says he can't travel back because of his health. What about the state of health of the shattered 60, 70-year-old people of my race? Doesn't matter, they were put on, you know, trains or wherever to remove them from their mothers, from their country, and to be institutionalised. The innocence of those children were shattered. So the churches have a lot to answer for as well.
They do, and I don't know, they seem to be too quiet. The breaches, the human
Absolutely.
Rights breaches,
Absolutely.
The asylum seekers, yep. the children of asylum seekers that are behind razor wire.
Yeah.
the churches seem to be too damn quiet, aren't they?
Absolutely.
In regards to this.
Yeah.
And you got to say, what the hell's going on?
Exactly.
What the hell's going on when these big churches, they're like multinationals.
Yes.
They've got bank accounts like multinationals.
Yep.
They got power, political power and economic power.
Yep.
Like the multinationals.
Yes.
What the hell's going on when they can sit so quietly?
Yes. And dare to preach to us. And the other thing that I'm very upset as I get older is the fact we were termed as savages. We are definitely not the savages. Savagery was unleashed on us, noble people of this country. We are the nobles, and we still are. And it's time we took our place at the head of decision making on our country.
Mobilisation of our people. There's been some national meetings, you've attended a couple of them, discussing different things that are affecting us. One of them being a recent meeting down in Melbourne last week of a lot of our mob, some 500 odd. The unanimous decision there to reject or say no to constitutional reform. That's what's needed, isn't it, around like this national mobilisation. We've got to start in our own community, on the ground, in our community. But it's got to grow. It's got to be national.
It has to be. We are not huge 2 million or 3 million people. I think ours is such a small number now that to really make a difference, there has to be a treaty reignited between ourselves. And in saying we want to be up at the table, we have to say it as one voice. Instead of fighting for the crumbs, which is termed as monetary help, which is swallowed up anyway by the bureaucratic system. By the time it gets down to people, you do not meet what is needed on the ground, and we really don't want it. If we can amass between ourselves a little bit of black monetary system, we'll go a long way. But from now on, we need to be united. We need to link up in more ways than one. Intertribal, tribal to tribal groups from Darwin or the islands above that down to Tasmania. We need a united voice. Mm. That is the most important thing at this stage in our history. And the thing is, with instant media, we need to link up with First Nations people throughout the world. This country is no longer the secret country which John Pilger exposed, and they were doing it in secret, the atrocities against us. It's no longer that. They can't do it out of sight, out of mind. The world and First Nations people throughout the world know what Australia's done to us, the First Nations people of this country. And I think that link up is very important.
Most certainly. And the likes of Pilger, who you've mentioned, who recently, last year, I think he re-released a film.
Yes.
The likes of Pilger, the likes of Chris Graham.
Yes.
These people who are who are outside of our community, they're what they whitefellas.
Yep.
But by gee, they've got an important role to play, and we must be able to welcome them in and
yes.
work with them and give them the respect and stuff that they deserve.
Yep, and I think those people, Jeff McMullen's another one.
McMullen's another one.
Right. Jerry Georgiades over in the West.
Mm.
Those people are our brothers and sisters. Mm. It is the policies and that white Australia policy which kills us.
That's
not what we want.
Mm. And we are an inclusive culture, so we encourage, we stand for the inclusion
Well, I hope the our white brothers and sisters that are here today, that are third generation and so forth, and who have the heart and the intellect to reach out. We are on a human journey.
Yeah.
And at the end of that journey, Australia should be where human beings can have a quality of life. The senseless, racist attitude which was inflicted on us has to stop here and now, not tomorrow. Because that intergenerational trauma has cost a lot of lives, young lives, of our race of people.
Yeah. Well, Art, we've got a few other guests that are going to come on in. I think thanks for joining us. It's been great. It's always great talking to you. It's just so lovely to see you and have you on here.
Tiger, it's been absolutely wonderful to catch up. And thank you for having me on this program of yours.
You enjoy your visit to Jagera country and safe travels home. Thank you.
Thank you.
Auntie Rosalie Cunoth Monks, joining us there. And Auntie Rose is the 2015 Northern Territory Australian of the Year. She's the 2015 NAIDOC Person of the Year. And she's also the young actress, young woman that played the role of Jeddah back in the mid-50s of that film titled Jeddah with Robert Turrawali, another First Nation man, was the played the lead role. So that's only role, Rosalie Cunoth Monks. It's great to have her here. We're broadcasting Let's Talk from Jagera. It's an outside broadcast. We're down Musgrave Park, down on home country. Well, it's home country wherever we go, but Musgrave Park is a very special place. Very special place. And that's where we are. Now, I've got a couple of performers, artists, people, deadly fellas, black fellas. Tony Janke, welcome to the studio. Been a long time.
Hi, Tiger. Nice to see you.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Good to hear your voice. It's been a long time.
Long, long time.
Long, long time.
Too long.
And another fellow that we don't get to hear all that often unless we drag a song out of the library and put it to air is Joe Geyer.
Good morning, brother? Not too bad, brother.
Yeah?
Good to see you anyway.
Hey, good to have you here.
And you can see that you're in the best of health, Tiger.
Pardon?
You're in the best of health.
I'd like to be, brother. Yes. I'd like to be. I'm fooling people at the moment. But
you're here talking.
It's all right, mate. Let's talk.
It's all on Jagera.
Still here.
Yes.
Tony, tell us your mob, your country, please.
My people are Woodathi and Miriam. I grew up in North Queensland. My mother still lives up there. At a young age, my family moved to Canberra. My father and brother still live in Canberra. And I now live in Brisbane. So very, very, very blessed to be living here. It's a beautiful place and here today, part of the thing today. Joey's actually living on the Gold Coast. I was on the Gold Coast for 20 years.
Nice.
And we were just talking about how beautiful it is at Cumberbury Country and, what a wonderful place it is. But just as nice as here in Brisbane as well. Yeah, so we're here today to sing a song for you.
True. Well, let's get Joey to tell us his mob and country and then we'll get you guys singing.
Well, what I've been told is, Palm Island was a penal settlement and that's where my mother and father met. But coming from their mouth, my mother was sent to Palm Island from Cooktown area. So she was a Kuku Imagi woman. And before my father, my grandfather came down in the war from Horn Island up in the Torres Strait. And they said we were Kubin people. So I got a bit of Kuku Imagi and Torres Strait Island Kubin people in me. And Geyer, the name Geyer is a Torres Strait Island name. So that's where we're from, but Now, like you say, Tony, I'm at Gold Coast at the moment. A few years of my life I spent a lot in Melbourne. And, yeah, I think when I sort of got into Melbourne, I think you were at Redfern, Tiger. Yes, and that was 82 I went to Melbourne, but you did that big 88 thing, I think, where...
A big march down there.
Yes.
Was involved with, a few people there.
What was your radio station called then?
Radio Redfern, Radio Skid Row.
Yeah, that's
Radio
right.
Radio Skid Row. Was it, all right, yeah. So what's happened music-wise? Why have you moved from Melbourne to Gold Coast? Sure, you've come back home Queensland way, but back north.
Yeah.
For your music and that, is it a move for you for music, or is it a move for you as a lifestyle thing you want to...
I think...
salt water and closer to home.
Just as an artist, there's a lot of... sort of change about in the music scene, and people are sort of looking more into the hip hop and rap and the doof music, whereas I'm just a sort of a folkish sort of tropical sort of guitar strummer, just those areas. Hotels being turned into pokies and all that sort of thing. It's just sort of the employment or the work sort of dies out a bit, and you just sort of depend and hope on festivals now, And when, especially the festival stage, it's a big race to get an appearance on those stages, because Indigenous artists are just growing, multiplying by the tens. And great artists are coming out, and songwriters, and like the community always do, they share those artists, and they share that stage between everybody, and new young one coming up, they're going to give them a go at it and all that. And all the uncles and aunties, they sort of stand back then and let the young one carry on.
Make room for them to come through.
Yeah.
So have we got anything, any new recordings, releases, anything like that on in the plans for yourself? Writing new music? What are you doing?
Yeah, so I would like to concentrate on something where I want to make a CD in Brisbane or in Queensland, and write some new songs. Being on the Gold Coast, there's maybe even sort of see if I can... put a little clip together for a rage sort of thing, so that's just all in the box at the moment. I haven't sort of sorted it out.
Yeah, you'll start unpacking that box and taking each step as required. What about yourself, Tony? With music, what are you doing?
I'm hoping to record again this year. It's been a bit of a spell. I've had spent the last few years bringing up family. And my girls are growing up now. I've got one up living up in Arnhem Land and one here in Brisbane. She was at ACPA here and the College of Performing Arts. And I recently made a move to Brisbane and, loving it. But I'd love to get back into the music. And, there are a lot of young people around today, I think, and it's great to see. I sort of think, I don't really want to perform or sing. But when the opportunity comes up, it's good to be able to mix and just to get back in there and sing and be part of. And we're coming up in the early March doing some workshops with some women and just, working with some of the community. So, I like that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Well, if you come here to sing a song for me, we'd better get you doing it, eh?
Let's do it.
Yeah. Yes.
We've got to do the classic Yillul.
Yeah.
Tell us about that, Yillul.
Well, this is actually a Brisbane song. All the words that I wrote, I sat down and wrote these words when the Black Resource Centre was happening, Black Resource Centre collectives, and I became one of those collectives. Lionel Fogarty and Cheryl Buchanan used to run that Black Resource Centre. They had this thing that came out, it was called Black News Service, and whoever was a collective would write articles for this news service, and you know, there were times when people would write stories about being an Aborigine living on a mission. And, you know, there were people from Sherbeg there, people from Woorabinda, myself from Palm Island. And there was areas where we could write poems. As Lionel Fogarty was is a poet as well. And so this writing, you know, it was around about then when the flag came out and people started asking, why do you want this to be under this other flag? What are you all about? So I thought, you know, instead of going through all the political story, let's just write a song about the colours. There's three colours there. So there's three verses there, and, you know, so the chorus is Yilal, which is a language word from Kukuyalanji language, which means sing. And, you know, instead of sort of talking, I thought it's time to sort of sing about our struggle as well, you know. And at least the song stays there for
well,
a long
time. Well, you've had people like Paul Kelly, Kirk Cameron, and others. I mean, there's a range of non-First Nations people that have picked up this song as well or joined in.
Yes.
I mean, I've seen some amazing stages with people all over it singing this song. But look, we're running out of time.
Yeah, okay.
You can sing the song, eh?
Yes. Well, this is the way it goes, people, and hope you enjoy
talking
it.
Talking to Joe Geyer and Tony Jang.
Wow. Eh? It's an honour and a privilege to have you here performing that song.
And that's how.
And Tony, for you to be here, same thing.
An honour to walk Jagara again.
Same thing.
Beautiful. Thanks, brother.
Really beautiful.
Thank you, Tiger.
And to think that that song was written.
Should be a national anthem.
Yes, yes. And it sort of is taken on that role of a national anthem when you think back over the years how it's been used.
Yes.
And that the collective of people that join in and want to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. It's certainly our national anthem, most certainly.
And, you know, our pride is there in that flag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we might have differences of tribal area, but we sort of go by that colour. You know, we always, no matter which area, there's whoever we go by those black, red and yellow.
That's right.
You know.
We're about out of time, guys.
Thanks, Tiger.
Just timed that beautifully.
Thank you very much.
Really appreciate you coming in and sharing that with us.
Thank
Fantastic.
You.
It's time for me to go. Let's talk winding up. We will be back on Monday. You join us Monday. Have a great day.